we can't be foolish in the thought, impractical in the thought, you know, acting as if what is happening isn't happening. I don't think the sound is right yet. Let's see, where was I? Oh, we can't be foolish in the sense of we can't be impractical or airheaded. But it's even like if you're, even as your body is dying, I know when Linda Gerber was passing, and you know, we just had the first anniversary of her dying of cancer, and it was always sort of tricky because she was clearly dying. You know, her body wasn't going to recover. But so it became not so much a question of affirming that that particular body would get up and walk again, as affirming very strongly that she was fine and that there was nothing wrong with her. And it was the process of disidentifying with the body that was disintegrating and identifying more and more with the unchanging part of herself. So there was always this very strong affirmation of health and well-being and vitality, because you don't want to identify with a dying body to such an extent, Master put it, that when you're born, you have a concept that your body is weak. You see, if you die with the thought, oh, my poor body, it's so racked, it's so ruined, you'll be born again with the concept of, oh, my poor body, it's so racked, it's so ruined. Of course, it can fall away, but you don't want that to be you. You want to say, I'm well. I think I told you the story of Sherry Bernadette told me of, she's a dental surgeon in, or she's a specialist dentist in Nevada City. And Swami needed a certain kind of dental work that she herself couldn't do, but she made an arrangement. She got a friend of hers to do him a favor and slip him into his busy schedule and do some special dental work. So Sherry escorted Swami there because the man was doing her a favor. Also because Swami has trouble writing, his hand shakes sometimes. So often when there's forms to fill out or something, someone will help him. So this dentist doing this complicated procedure had a very long health form to fill out. He wanted to know all about his patient. The first question is, Sherry didn't know Swamiji very well. What is your overall state of health? Swami said, excellent, just excellent. Then Sherry started asking him specific questions. Hip replacement, hearing loss, heart operation, diabetes, high blood pressure, you know, just it went on and on and on and on and on and on. But still, when you asked him what his health was, excellent, he said. Oh, I mean, his body may have those conditions, but his health, it's excellent. And it wasn't even an affirmation. It was just his sense of himself. His health is excellent. Now, you know, those are very important realities because of the last harvest is the seed sown. That's where it comes. And so we have to be very, very careful how we define ourselves. You may accommodate certain realities, but that's quite different than defining yourself by those realities. Last Sunday, was it just this past? Yes, it was just 2 days ago when I was talking about learning to flip my own self-concept from a person who was so sensitive that everything overwhelmed me, to a person who isn't. That, I mean, the same qualities still exist within me, you know, however you would define them. I'm constituted in such a way that I have an awareness of many things that go on around me, not always to my benefit, it's just a fact. You know, I sort of see and feel what people are doing in anywhere in my space. But I just have stopped defining that as some quality that makes me fey and just accepted it as part of who I am. But why should that make me weak? You know, many things that there are about us, we don't have to use them to make us weak. We can take whatever it is and use it to build strength because whatever we are, that's what we're just going to be more of it. That's the karma that we're setting in motion. So if you've been unfortunate enough to have a body that doesn't function as well as other bodies, okay, so it doesn't function as well as other bodies, but don't ever define yourself by that weakness, and don't ever dwell on the thought of that weakness, and don't ever see your life in those terms, because all you'll do is just keep on doing it. You know, just separate yourself, at least break the ego involvement with it. If you can't actually overcome the conditions with willpower, at least break the ego involvement with it. Do you understand? If you're prone to be unsuccessful, if you have, you know, bad money karma or bad relationships karma or whatever it might be, let if it has to happen and you can't turn it with your willpower, at least distance your ego, yourself from it. Do you understand what I mean? In a healthy manner, in a positive manner. It's just a wave, but I am the ocean. Yes, it's true that my you know, in my part of the ocean, these things are happening, but I am the ocean. These are just waves. It's when Swamiji was, one of his periods when he was just could barely walk. He was so weak. How are you, sir? Compared to eternity, I feel fine. You know, that's an honest way of saying it. That's not saying that the body was doing so well, but compared to eternity, I feel fine. What difference does it make? I am well. Otherwise, that's the seed you want to have planted. That's why Master was so distressed when Swami once visited one of the devotees in the hospital, and that man kept saying, oh, I've done so many wrong things in my life. And when Swami told Master, Master was so sad. He said, I wish he wasn't dying with that thought in his mind. Now, we have to watch that, because if your mind is inclined to think, oh, poor me, oh, I've done so many wrong things, oh, I'm a failure in so many ways, you're not gonna get better friends, you're going to get worse. You know, an observation that one of my friends made about, age-related senility is that you just go crazy in whichever direction you were going anyway, right? I mean, sometimes what happens is a complete shift, but not usually. I mean, my experience is very little, and my friend has only a little bit too, but the few examples we know are very interesting. That you just keep going where you were and your brain freezes wherever you left it. Just like your mommy said to you, if you make that face too often, your brain's pain is gonna, face is going to freeze. If you have that thought too often, your brain's going to freeze. And it will. So how do you want to be? If you're not enjoying it now, friend, you're going to enjoy it even less next time around, believe me. And it's a fight. But fight it. Even a little effort. Even a little practice of this inward religion will free you from dire fears and colossal sufferings, because even a little bit of effort is met by a descending force of grace. You know, Satan pulls us one way, but God pulls us the other. Okay. Is this where I started, or was it 56? I started on 56. I'll tell thee this when start. Oh, I'm going to skip this one because this is just all about Mushtari and Parwin and the flaming fold. This is about astrology. We can just let that one pass. The vine had struck a fiber which about if clings my being, let the Sufi flout of my base metal may be filed a key that shall unlock the door he howls without. Oh gosh. Master Swami says in here that Sir Edward Fitzgerald used the word Sufi, thinking it meant a theological intellectual. And he says in later editions he didn't use the word Sufi because it's misused. But that's what he meant. He meant a dogmatist, not a mystic. In fact, Sufi was the mystical aspect of it, so that doesn't quite make sense. But the subsequent translations have a better word than that. And all it says in here is that let other people argue and think what they will. He who knows the divine truth knows it. And then there's just this wonderful thought, of my base metal may be filed a key. That's a very nice phrase, isn't it? It's a very important thing to realize that